All right, let's bow our heads and pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you for your promise and your word that we're two or more gathered in your name, that you are right there with us. And Lord, we just thank you so much that because of what happened 2,000 years ago, something like this comes to life for all of us. So Lord, we just want to celebrate you tonight, wish you a happy birthday by worshiping you. And I just pray, Lord, that tonight, it may be if one person here has never received that gift of eternal life, that maybe tonight be the night they give their life over to you. Lord, we ask that you would just refresh our hearts tonight, help us to tune out the world, and just worship you tonight. Be with us. Give us your strength. We thank you for your forgiveness of our sins. We thank you for what you're going to do, Lord. Refresh our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We're going to have the Britz family come up. They're going to light the Advent wreath candles and then talk about the gift of Jesus, the Christ candle.
The past 4 weeks, we have been lighting candles on the Advent wreath. The first candle represents hope. The second candle represents peace. The third candle represents joy. And the fourth candle represents love. Tonight, as we light the Christ candle, celebrating the end of Advent and the arrival of Christ and Christmas, let us remember how our Savior came once as a lowly baby, that the world through him might be saved, and how he will return one day in glory. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. John 8:12. Jesus spoke again to the people. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
Let's stand up and worship.
Excuse me. I forgot to turn my phone off. If anybody else forgot, now's the time to fix it. Oh my gosh.
No, sir, you're the only one.
I don't know who said that, Chris, but that was a good one. I think it's done. Nothing like that has ever happened to me before in 35, 45 years of ministry. Never, never. Y'all believe that, right? Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, good evening. It's good to be here with you for our Christmas Eve service. I heard a story of a little boy who wanted to make sure his dad got the message that he wanted a watch for Christmas. Every day in the morning, when his dad got home from work, and at night, it was, Dad, I want a watch. Dad, I really want a watch. Dad, I really, really want a watch. Every day. And finally, Dad had enough of it. And he said, Son, I know you want a watch, But if you mention it one more time, you're not going to get a watch. And the little boy took it to heart. He knew his dad was forgetful. So that night at supper time, he said, "Dad, can I quote a verse of Scripture?" And Dad was very impressed. He said, "While sure you can quote a verse of Scripture." He said, "Dad, I'd like to quote for you from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verse 37. He said, "Dad, that verse says this, 'I tell you now what I told you before. Watch.'" It's a true verse. Kid was pretty smart. We use watches to tell us what time it is. And tonight I want to talk with you along the theme of what time is Christmas. Now, if you have your outlines, I think we put them in the bulletin for you. Follow along if you'd like. What time is Christmas? Look at this verse, Ecclesiastes 3:1. Everything that happens in this world happens at the time God chooses. The Bible says that God specifically chose the time when Jesus would come to this earth. It wasn't an accident. As a matter of fact, Paul says this in Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. He says, "When the right time came, the time God decided on, He sent His Son, born of a woman, so that He could adopt us as His very own children." God waited till just the right time to send His Son, Jesus Christ. So, what time is Christmas? The answer is found in the four statements the angels gave to the shepherds at the very first Christmas. What time is Christmas? Number one, Christmas is a time to release my fears. Luke 2:10 says this, "An angel appeared to the shepherds, and they were terrified. But the angel said, 'Do not be afraid.'" The first thing the angel says is, "Do not be afraid. Release your anxiety. Let go of your fears." Now, there are 365 fear nots in the Bible, one for every day of your life for a year. And God is saying, because it's that many, He's saying, get the message. Don't be afraid. It's interesting, whenever God talked to somebody in the Old Testament or the New Testament, that person showed their fear. And God said, don't be afraid. People are afraid of many things in life. There are probably some things you're afraid of. Me, among other things, spiders, mice, rats, pretty much everything that lives outside or gets into my house. I don't like that stuff. Not a bit. But there are other fears we have in life regarding our lives, maybe our children's lives, our parents' lives, things that you're going through right now that are just difficult and you're struggling and you're afraid. God says, fear not. One of the reasons we're afraid is because we don't know what's going to happen in the future. We don't know what's going to happen when we leave this service tonight. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen a year from now. And it causes some anxiety, some angst in us. Think about this. 3.5 years ago, none of us could see COVID. And then when that came, we all had a sense of fear. But God says at Christmas time, don't be afraid. It's time to release your fears. Jesus said this in John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. So if you follow me, you won't be stumbling through the darkness." I hope this Christmas, as you look to Jesus to be your light, that you will release your fears to God. What time is Christmas? A time to release your fears. And number two, Christmas is a time to renew your faith. The reality of Christmas isn't Rudolph or Santa, Frosty or Scrooge. The reality of Christmas is Jesus Christ, God's Son. Luke 2:10 says this, I bring you the most joyful news ever announced, and it is for everyone. If you have your pen or pencils out, underline that couple of words there, joyful news. You ever watch TV around 5 o'clock, 5:30, 6, 6:30? There's not a whole lot of joy in those time slots when you're listening to the news. It's always one bad thing after another, and it seems like on and on it goes. God says, I've got joyful news. I've got good news. I've got great news. I've got fantastic news for you. Folks, Christmas is good news. The most important truth of Christianity is the good news that Christmas brings to us, the great news that it brings to us. It's the best news in the entire world. People want to hear it because it's good news. And the good news of God and the good news of Jesus Christ who left heaven to come here on this earth, the good news of the fact that Jesus lived his life selflessly so we could understand God better, the good news of Jesus deciding to die on a cross, he was punished. The person who committed no sin was punished for the sin that we committed. Think about this. Anybody here have any siblings, cousins, parents, all of that? Can you imagine, if you have a sibling, can you imagine your sibling coming up to you one day and saying, hey, Kevin, I just want you to know I love you. You're my brother. I love you. And what I want to do is, you did some things wrong last week that Dad's going to find out about. But when that happens, I'm going to ask Dad to spank me instead of you. Really? Would that really happen to you? But that's what Jesus did for us. He said, God, I know they've sinned. We've all sinned. We've all done something wrong. We're all selfish, basically. And Jesus said, hey, I'm going to take the punishment of your sin upon myself when I die on the cross. That's why I'm doing it. I'm being punished so you don't have to be. Folks, that's good news. That's good news. Christmas is a time to enjoy the good news that God has given us. And the news he's given us just gets better and better. Let me give you part of the good news he gives us. First, the good news is you matter to God. You matter to God. God knows everything about you, the good, the bad, the ugly, and he still loves you. He still accepts you. He still forgives you. You matter to God. He cares about you. Sometimes people have a hard time realizing that, a hard time believing that, a hard time buying into that. But the Bible clearly says you matter to God. Secondly, the Bible says you are not an accident. Now, I don't know care what the circumstances of your birth are. You weren't made by accident. And God has a purpose and a plan for your life. Meaning and satisfaction come when you discover God's purpose for your life. And you get right in the center of what he wants you to do and what he wants you to be. And third, God wants you to know him. Now, you probably could think right now, if I said, how many people do you know? You probably list hundreds. Oh, I know them. Well, I know them. But of those people that you know, how many do you intimately know? And they intimately know who you are. Probably that circle shrinks down a lot. But God wants you to know him, and he knows you. And It's like the little boy who cried out to his daddy, "Daddy, Daddy, I'm afraid of the dark. Come in here and be with me." And Dad said, "Just grab your teddy bear." And the little boy said, "No, I want someone with skin on." And that's what God did for us. He sent Jesus, someone with skin on, like me and you. People think, when they think of Jesus, they think that he was like absolutely perfect and just he had no temptations. Listen, Jesus, the Bible said, had the same temptations that you and I have. Jesus struggled to do God's will at times. The difference between him and us isn't that he didn't struggle. It's that he followed God's will every time he was tempted. He turned away from. Now, some temptations we turn away from, but not all of them. Not all of them all the time. And Jesus came so you could know him, and through him so you could know God. Folks, God did not come to give you religion. I don't preach religion. I preach about a Savior who loves us, who is forgiving to us, who wants to guide us and change us and make us to the person that God wants us to be, the one who wants us to lovingly serve him. It's joyful news. Look at John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus is talking here, and he says, "I have come that you might have life and have it to the fullest." Christmas is a time to release your fear. It's a time to renew your faith in God. And third, Christmas is a time to receive God's forgiveness. Notice the third thing that the angel said. He said, "Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born for you. He is Christ the Lord." Notice Jesus is called Savior. A Savior was born for you. Why do we need a Savior? Well, because the Bible says heaven is a perfect place. There's no sin in heaven, no suffering, no pain in heaven, no sorrow in heaven. It's a perfect place. And if we go to heaven as imperfect people, we'll mess up the whole scheme of heaven. And we need forgiveness so we can get there. You don't get there by good works, folks. There's no way you could get there by good works. Sorry. Think about this. There was a time that Billy Graham was asked the question, "If this is God in all his perfection, this is heaven and God lives there and it's a perfect place, Billy Graham, where do you stand in closeness to God?" Now, we would think, and the average American would probably think, "Oh, Billy Graham, if this is God, Billy Graham's like right here." Billy Graham said, no, I'm way down here." Mother Teresa was asked the same question, gave her life to help people, indigent people in India, such a wonderful lady, a wonderful missionary. They said, "Mother Teresa, if this is God and he's perfect, where do you stand in relation to God?" And she said, "Oh, I'm not there." She said, "I'm way down here." Now listen, if Billy Graham and Mother Teresa said, "I'm down here," where are you? I'm playing handball against the curb. Christmas is a time to receive God's forgiveness. We need a Savior because we're not perfect. You may be a good person, but it doesn't say you get to heaven for being a good person. You may be a great person, but you're not perfect. None of us measure up. So God said, "I'm going to send Jesus into the world. He's going to die on the cross so their sins could be forgiven. And it's only through Jesus that we get to heaven, not because we're perfect, but because Jesus paid the price of his life so we could go there one day. But you need to come and surrender to Jesus. Anybody here ever did any lifeguarding? Some of you may have. It's interesting, if you're a lifeguard and you try to save somebody who's trying to save themselves, you can't do it If somebody was really struggling out in the water and you went out there, lifeguards are taught to just stay close to them, but a little off. Because if you tried to grab them while they're still trying to fight and do it on their own, that person's going to go down and take you with them. It's only when the person who is struggling finally just gives up, that's when the lifeguard comes in and is able to take that person to safety. As long as you're trying to save yourself, it's not going to work. You need to say, God, I give up on myself and I want you to save me. Look at John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Jesus said, "For God loved this world so much that he gave his only Son, so that anyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn it, good news, but to save it. People think Jesus came in the world just to beat him up to make him feel bad. No, he didn't. He came to forgive your sins and save you. Make your life a life that has significance and purpose. We've all come here tonight and we really are glad you're here. But we've all come for different reasons. We had different motives to come here. Maybe you came tonight because that's what we do in the South. We go to church on Christmas Eve. Some of you may have come because a friend or a family member invited you. It's your family tradition. Whatever reason you came here tonight, you are not here by accident, by coincidence. You're here to realize it's time to give your life to God through Jesus Christ, his Son. It's time to release your fears. It's time to let God handle your problems that you're worried about. It's time for you to let go of it and just say, God, this is your problem. It's time to renew your faith. It's time to realize that Jesus coming into the world is good news. God says, I love you. I made you. You matter to me. I want you to know me intimately. That's good news. Some of you may have come tonight to renew your faith in God. We all need to do that from time to time. The Bible says, unto you is born a Savior. We need to be saved. Ultimately, Christmas is a time for you to meet Christ. How crazy to celebrate Christmas without even knowing the one we celebrate. In the Old Testament, in the book of Hosea, chapter 10, verse 12, the Bible says this: "It is time for you to turn to me, your Lord, and I will come and pour out blessings among you." It's time to turn back to God. God did much to show you his love and his grace. It's time for you to turn to him. I read about a grandfather who found his grandson jumping up and down in the playpen, crying at the top of his lungs. And when little Johnny saw his grandfather, he reached up with his chubby little hands. He says, "Out, Gramps, out." And it was only natural for the grandfather to reach down and lift him out of his predicament. But as the mother didn't want that to happen, he could not. The mom reminded little Johnny that he was being punished, so he had to stay in the playpen. The grandfather was at a loss of what to do, and the child's tears and chubby hands were reaching deep into the grandfather's heart. But the mother's firmness in correcting her son must not be taken lightly. But love found a way. The grandfather could not take the grandson out of the playpen, so he climbed in the playpen to take care of him. This is what Christmas means. Jesus left heaven, climbed into the world to show us the way to God. What time is Christmas? It's time to acknowledge that and receive the greatest Christmas gift you could ever have. It's time for you to release your fears, to renew your faith, to receive forgiveness. For some of you, you need to come home to God. You've received Jesus as your Savior. You've already done that. He's your Savior. But for reasons you may have drifted away, you've gotten out of the habit of coming to church or going to a small group or reading your Bible or praying. And tonight may be the time for you to say, I got to come back to that. I want to renew my walk with God. For some of you here tonight, you've lived this past year apart from Christ, and it's frustrating. You've run out of energy. You've drifted away. Come back to Christ. Maybe you're here and you realize that you've never received Jesus as your Savior. You've never made that commitment. You've never said, God, I need to be saved, and just accepted Jesus as your Savior. Sometimes people are afraid of that. They don't really know what it means, and that's all right. The greatest scholars in the world don't know everything about what that means. I remember when I was a teenager, I wasn't involved in church at any part in my life. Somebody invited me to their church, and I went, and I began to learn about God and about Jesus. And I didn't understand it all. I didn't know it all. I just knew I needed to be forgiven. And I'll never forget, in the summer of 1976, in July of 1976, in my bedroom, I didn't know what prayer to pray, what words to use. I just said, Jesus, if you're real, I need you to come into my life. I need you to forgive me. And that was it. And you know what happened? Jesus came into my life. He forgave me. And he can do the same thing for you. All you have to do is invite him. It's time for you to experience the greatest gift of Christmas, the gift of Jesus as your Savior. Would you pray with me, please? God, I want to thank you for giving us an evening and that we can come together to just to get out of the world for a little bit and worship you. Father, all of us have a desire to know you, and we believe you. We probably wouldn't be here if we didn't. There may be some here, Father, who still don't have all those answers to the questions they have in life. God, some of your children here made a commitment to you some time ago, but they've walked away, or they've just not been good at practicing the habits of a growing Christian. There are some here, Lord, who love you and they walk with you. Maybe they are trying to think about other ways they can share you and your love with other people around them. Whatever decisions, God, that people need to make here tonight, I pray that you guide them to make them. This is the time of Christmas. It's the time to receive the greatest gift. Help us, Father, to make sure we make good use of this time. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Looking ahead, 2023. 2022 has been exciting. 2023. And I just want to tell you this. A lot of people ask us in our small groups and so on, you know, Crossroads and Calvary, what's happening there? And I tell you, folks, get ready for some big announcements as we work together to become one. All right? Just tell you that and put that in your prayer box, and we'll go from there. All right? So have a great Christmas. Let's pray as you go from here. And Susan, what are you saying? Oh, we had some gifts given today. If you know a family, even at this last moment, who's going to be short on Christmas, we had some toys given today They're in the fellowship hall. You see me afterward. We've already given some to a family on John's Island who their house burned down last night. And these gifts came in today. God provided some gifts today, and we've had people take them to them already. Thank you, folks, for being God's hands and feet. But if you know somebody, see me afterwards, and I'll help you with that. Okay? Charles? 10:30, and Charles starts singing at what time? 10:35, something like that. So, all right, let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for this wonderful time, a message that challenges us. What time is Christmas? What time is it? Right now, it is time for us to meet you. It's time for us to give our heart and our life to you. And if there's anyone here that's not done that, Lord, I pray tonight's message has challenged them and challenged me and challenged all of us to do that. We pray for our world to meet you tonight, today. Lord, we love you and we thank you. We pray it in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen.